No.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Yes.
Y'all ready? At this time, I'd like to call to order the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting of November 12, 2018. The time is now 6:02. At this time, anyone will be allowed to speak on any matter other than personal matters or matters under litigation for a length of time not to exceed 3 minutes. No commission discussion or action may take place on any matter until such matter has been placed on an agenda and posted in accordance with law. Steph, is there anybody who would like to speak? Is there anybody signed up? All right. Staff, are there any reports or announcements to be heard?
Just wanted to let you guys know that the text amendment for the coffee roasting and the conditional use permit for the facility that Persimmon and Lizzie Lane were both approved by City Council.
Okay.
That was it.
Thank you. All right. Okay. 4.0, consideration to approve the minutes of the regular Planning and Zoning Commission meeting of October 8th, 2018. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Thank you, Commissioner Benson. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Rockmore. Is there any discussion or corrections to the minute? All right, please enter your vote now.
Motion carries unanimously.
5.1, new business. Consideration to approve preliminary plat of Snook Lane Business Park, Section 1, a commercial subdivision of 5.0260 acres of land in the Jesse Pruitt Survey, A629, of the city of Tomball, Harris County, Texas. Staff, could we please have a report?
Yes, ma'am. The first plat on the agenda tonight is Snook Lane Business Park, Section 1, which is a preliminary plat. It's located on the east side of Snook Lane, just north of Main Street. It is zoned commercial. One lot is being created with a total area of 5.026 acres. A copy of the plat for review is posted in front of you, and staff recommends approval with the following contingencies. Update the vicinity map, remove building lines, submit updated title report, show existing easement locations, and correct typos.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve with contingencies?
I'll make the motion to approve with contingencies.
Thank you, Commissioner Dunnigan. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Is there any discussion or questions? All right. Seeing none, please enter your votes now.
Motion carries unanimously.
5.2, consideration to approve replat of Arrowhead Properties, a subdivision of 1.8813 acre tract, being a replat of lots 1, 2, and 3, block 1 of Tomahawk Properties, as recorded in film code number 619161, Harris County map records, situated in the Joseph House Survey, Abstract 34, City of Tomball, Harris County, Texas. Staff, could we have a report, please?
The next plat on the agenda tonight is Arrowhead Properties, which is a replat. It's located northeast of the Hicks Street and Baker Drive intersection. It is zoned SF6. Six lots are being created and with a total area of 1.8813 acres. A copy of the plat is presented before you, and staff recommends approval with the following contingencies. Add adjacent property owner information, remove existing land improvements, and correct typos.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve with contingencies?
Motion to approve with contingencies.
Thank you, Commissioner Rockmore. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Dunnigan. Is there any discussion or question? Seeing none, please enter your vote now.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. 5.3, consideration to approve replat of TR1 lot 17 through 24 common grounds, a subdivision of land containing 0.4591 acres of land in the abstract. 34J House, Harris County, Texas. Staff, could we have a report, please?
The next plat on the agenda tonight is Common Grounds, which is a replat. It's located southwest of the Oak Street and Commerce Street intersection. It's zoned Old Town and mixed use, with one lot being created with a total area of 0.591 acres. A copy of the plat is presented before you, and staff recommends approval with the following contingencies. Add a 10-foot City of Tomball utility easement along the street frontage, add floodplain note, correct the vicinity map, and correct typos.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve with contingencies?
Motion to approve with contingencies.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Benson. Is there any discussion or questions? Seeing none, please enter your vote now. Daryl, punch it again.
Somebody punch Daryl.
Motion carried unanimously.
It's having its issues. All right. 5.4. Consideration to approve replat of Perez Estates, being a 0.2663 acre tract, and being a replat of a portion of lots 25 and 26 of Anderson Subdivision, a subdivision situated in the W. Hurd Survey, abstract number 371 of Harris County, Texas, according to the map or plat thereof, recorded in volume 321, page 44 of the deed records of Harris County, Texas. Staff, could we have a report, please?
The next plat on the agenda tonight is Perez Estates. It's located on the northeast end of Rye Street. It's zoned SF6. One lot is being created with a total area of 0.2663 acres. Here's a copy of the plat as it was presented to staff, and staff recommends approval with the following contingencies. Show existing utility easements referenced in the title report and pay fees.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve with contingencies, please?
Motion to approve with contingencies.
Thank you, Commissioner Rockmore. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Benson. Is there any questions or discussion? Seeing none, please enter your vote now.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. 5.5. Consideration to approve replat of Van Snyder Addition, being a 2.4370 acre tract, and being a replat of Lot 1 of Snyder Subdivision, a subdivision situated in the Ralph Hubbard Survey, abstract number 383 of Harris County, Texas, according to the map or plat thereof, recorded in volume 392, page 117 of the map records of Harris County, Texas. Staff, could we have a report, please?
The final plat on the agenda tonight is Van Snyder Addition, which is a replat. It's located on the west side of Old Oak Road, just across from Jurgens Park. It's zoned single family 20. Two lots are being created with a total area of 2.437 acres. Here's a copy of the plat as it was presented to staff, and staff recommends approval with the following contingencies. Show existing utility easements referenced in the title report, correct typos, and pay fees.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve with contingencies?
Motion to approve with contingencies.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Is there a second?
A second.
Thank you, Commissioner Dunnigan. Is there any discussion or questions? Seeing none, please enter your vote now.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. 5.8. Consideration to approve zoning case P18-161, a request by Timothy Hurtle on behalf of D-Flex Power LLC to amend Chapter 50 zoning of the Tomball Code of Ordinances by rezoning approximately 3 acres of land, legally described as Tract 253A Tomball Outlots, within the City of Tomball, Harris County, Texas, generally located on the west side of Pitchford Road at 902 Pitchford Road, from the Agricultural District to the Light Industrial District. Staff, could we please have a presentation?
Thank you. So city staff met with the applicant in August of this year to discuss the development of a power generation plant. This is an image of the property highlighted in red. It's located on South Pitchford Road, north of Ag, south of Lizzie Lane. This is an image of the subject site. It is currently a large lot, single-family residence. The property is zoned agricultural district. All properties immediately adjacent to this property are also zoned agricultural district, and there's some single-family six to the north on Lizzie Lane. The comprehensive plan future land use map designates this property as business industrial. All properties on South Pitchford are also designated business industrial. This designation is intended for industrial and intense employment activities, including unenclosed assembly, warehousing, distribution facilities, and office warehouse. There are not very many surrounding land uses on South Pitchford. The ones that are established include a nursery, a CenterPoint Energy substation, and a few single-family residences further south on Pitchford. Again, Lizzie Lane is to the north, and there are some single-family residences there. However, South Pitchford does not intersect Lizzie Lane, and there's also a City of Tomball drainage ditch between this site and that residence, which creates a buffer. We did receive two public comment forms in opposition of the case. They were presented to the commission. City staff does recommend approval. The request is in conformance with the future land use map and is generally appropriate with the surrounding land uses. The applicant is here and has prepared a presentation for the commission.
All right. Will the applicant please come forward to present your case? Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Timothy Hurdle, and my address is 11 Desert Rose Place, The Woodlands, Texas, 77382.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Well, thank you for having me tonight. I wanted to show up and tell you a little bit about Deflex Power, provide some more information than the report provided by the committee, just to provide both the folks here as well as the community in general a little bit more about our company and what we plan to do. So I'll start off with a little bit about myself. So I already mentioned my name is Tim Hurdle. I'm the CEO of Deflex Power, as well as the Chief Development Officer. I have about coming up on 20 years of experience in the power generation industry. I started off in nuclear power in the Navy. I was in the reactor department on aircraft carriers during Operation Iraqi Freedom after I graduated from the Naval Academy in 2001. And since then, I've worked primarily in renewable energy, both at the utility company, EDP Renewables, and now in asset management for a company called Envision Digital, which I started about 6 years ago. I've been a resident here in the North Houston area for 12 years, and I got my MBA from Rice University in 2011. So that's just a little bit about myself. And so we've proposed a small power generation facility. Just to give you some context, it's 18.6 megawatts, which is enough to power about 6,000 houses. And why are we doing this? So I mentioned that my experience is in renewable energy, and through my 12 years working in renewable energy, wind and solar, we've come to realize, the company Deflex, that there's a significant issue that's going on in the ERCOT grid. You may have even experienced power brownouts this evening. I did right before I came to this meeting. Where the influx of renewable energy is causing reliability concerns on the grid. Because while renewable energy is fantastic and clean and inexpensive, it's unfortunately not reliable. And so we need traditional generation facilities to balance out that unpredictable nature of the generation. And what you can see in the slide here, without going into a great deal of detail, the yellow is solar, the green is wind, and the blue is everything else. This is the generation that's expected to come online in Texas. And you can see, you can't see the dates, but they're from 2014 to today. It's a very long-term trend towards less and less traditional power plants being built to balance out the unpredictable nature of renewable generation. And a lot of that is because we've been very fortunate up until now to have relatively inexpensive power prices. But that is changing. We've had a lot of events recently which are significant, driving the cost of electricity up. If you look at your own power bill from 2010 to now, you may have seen a dip at first, but the increase has been significant in the past 4 or 5 years. Without more reliable generation to balance out the renewables, this trend is likely to continue. Just for, it's a little bit worse for those of us on the east side of Texas. I don't want to go into the full study here, but if you just look at the map of Texas, this is a study that was done by ERCOT, who is sort of the people who run the grid in the state of Texas. And they did a study looking at 10 years to 15 years into the future, And anything that you can see on this map, which is red or orange or yellow, is a new generating facility, primarily wind and solar. And anything that's blue or turquoise is a generation plant that they expect to shut down in the next 10 or 15 years. And so this is creating an unbelievable problem in ERCOT, which is this retiring of traditional reliable generation, particularly in eastern Texas, being replaced with unpredictable variable generation in the western half of the state. So DFLEX was designed around this problem to help ERCOT and local communities like Tomball keep up the reliability of the electricity supply in their area while keeping costs low for the residents. Because the good thing with renewable power is it is the cheapest way to make power. And with facilities like DFLEX's facilities, we can allow more of it to get built and maintain reliability on the grid, which keeps power inexpensive for your residents. And it's not just me saying this. This chart shows what the cost of importing power in a given year into Houston has been. And being on the north side of town, Tomball is even worse. The north of Houston is the single most congested area in the entire state of Texas for importing power. You can see in 2012, electricity providers, through your bill, rolling up to your electricity providers, paid $0 in transmission costs. In 2017, they paid almost $180 million in transmission costs to both improve reliability and work around the congestion that's caused by renewables. And on the right, you see the average age of all of the generators that currently serve the Houston area, of which Tomball, in ERCOT's mind, is included in the Houston load zone. It's over 35 years. More than half the generation is more than 35 years old, which means this technology is old. It's typically what you might call dirty, you know, expelling pollutants. And for the most part, beyond its design life to operate economically. So why us? You know, we think we've designed a really innovative plant, which I'll tell you about in the next slide. But you know, we are born from renewable roots. We care about the environment. We want to make a clean but helpful facility that will enable the delivery of more renewable energy. So we have developed a clean-burning natural gas facility that also has a battery storage component that will allow us to do everything from baseload power, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, predictable, reliable, to peaking power when the wind isn't blowing or the sun isn't shining. We can fill in the holes for the renewables and make sure that Tomball has reliable power all day, every day. This is a picture of what the facility actually looks like. I mentioned that it is 18.7 megawatts, which again is about enough for 6,000 average size houses. They are effectively like very large ship engines that run on natural gas instead of diesel. We chose natural gas on purpose because it is clean burning. It is the cleanest of the on-demand, able to run 24 hours a day forms of generation that we have today. We are going to register as an ERCOT market participant. I'll have more information on that in the Q&A session in response to some of the questions from the community. They're very small facilities, so this is the first one, or I should say the furthest along of the plants we have in Houston, but we do have 13 sites identified that we're simultaneously looking to build out, for the most part within the ring of Beltway 99. Yours is one of two exceptions. And the expected lifetime of this plant is between 25 and 35 years. So it would be a very long life asset, providing reliable power and inexpensive power to Tomball for a very long time. While simultaneously using very little water and producing very little pollutants, unlike a traditional generation facility. Ooh. Sorry about that. I may have... Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. I know the city had already presented some imagery of what it would look like. This is just our own renderings. You can see in the upper right the boundaries of the property in question highlighted in blue. And then superimpose a sort of an indicative site map of what the facility would look like overhead. And you can see that we did choose this property on purpose because of its extreme proximity to the Center Point substation, which is adjacent on the west and south sides. Both of those are easements for Center Point. And I'll talk a little bit more about the interconnection process during the Q&A session because I have prepared some comments on that. Another advantage of having a somewhat smaller facility is that we can be online. Right now, our plan is to be online in May of 2020, which is significant because right now ERCOT is forecasting, starting in 2020, if no one does build generation, Things could get as bad as having rolling blackouts in ERCOT starting in 2020 because of the lack of power supply. You may have this summer gotten emails from your power supplier saying, hey, please try to use electricity today in the summer. It's a high load day. We're going to have trouble delivering. That process or that problem is expected to just get worse over the next 2 years. And any large-scale facility that hasn't already begun being constructed won't be ready in time just due to the lead time. So I just wanted to highlight a couple of benefits to that we think DFLEX can deliver to the city of Tomball and why we're excited about this project. We think that DFLEX power facilities or facilities like them will continue to increase the adoption rate of renewable power across ERCOT, which while we are a thermal generation facility, the overall point is to allow more renewables to get built while maintaining the reliability of the grid. We'll protect the local areas where we're installed against power outages, power shortage, reliability events. Again, this has enough power to, you know, power a significant part of the local Tomball area. And in your facility in particular, you may not be aware, but Tomball is one jump away from the absolute most congested substation in all of Texas, which is called Zenith. So the Zenith substation is the worst substation in the entire state. Tomball is only one step away. So it's a challenging area for power producers and power marketers. And then, you know, the benefit to the consumers and the residents of Tomball is this should help keep your prices reasonable and lower by all of those services, all of that reliability, all of that unpredictability and power spikes ultimately trickles down to your residents' power bills. So by having facilities like this, you will reduce the amount of times that we'll have those extreme power events and therefore keep prices for your residents lower. Further, the facility will provide a direct economic benefit to the city in the form of property taxes, as well as unique to Tomball, since you provide your local gas supply, we would also be a significant consumer of natural gas, and just the promotion of a local veteran-run business. We did receive several questions from the community in advance of the hearing, which we certainly appreciate. So I prepared a few quick responses just to provide the information that we have available today. The first was around noise, and we wanted to just make it clear that we will work together with our equipment manufacturer, who is Wartzilla, as well as the city, to ensure that all of the relevant noise requirements are met. Further, we estimate the facility will be running no more than 1,000 hours per year. Its primary purpose is to be in standby as a reliability unit, so it would really only be running during periods of high electricity demand in peak load hours and if there's an event or a system outage on the grid. We had another question on air emissions. The plant is designed to be as clean burning as humanly possible. We're working with a company called LTE Environmental to ensure that we are fully compliant with the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality to qualify for the sort of most stringent standard or permit we can get, which is the standard permit for electricity generating unit. We're also, at our cost, outfitting the facility with an optional combined SCR and oxidation catalyst, which is a unit that goes in the exhaust stack of the engines to further reduce the emissions so that we can be considered a non-significant source of air pollutants. So to be clear, it is natural gas, but under the consideration of the TCEQ, it would be a non-significant source of pollutants. And further, sort of from a statewide or even a citywide level, the overall point is that this will allow the construction of more renewable generation assets, which will ultimately, we hope, displace the many coal facilities in Texas. So by building a small number of these clean burning facilities, we hope that we can actually ultimately lead to the retirement of some of the aging coal facilities in the area. We had an extremely good question on what is the status of our electrical interconnection and have we been working with CenterPoint? The question is that, or the answer to that question is yes. We filed in July of 2018 an application with ERCOT, who is actually ERCOT is actually above CenterPoint. They are the grid operator for the entire grid of Texas, of whom CenterPoint is obviously a part. So we are assigned public record number 19 INR 0187. If anyone's extremely interested, they could look at. You can go to ERCOT's website. You can see the status of our application. But we have already completed the stability study with ERCOT, which is the first step to ensuring reliability. And we've also agreed to a full interconnection study scope with CenterPoint, which has confirmed that it is a relatively easy process to upgrade the adjacent substation, and have confirmed that they'd be willing to energize our half of the facility in April of 2020. We had a question on our experience, which under the name Deflex Power, this is our first facility that we're building, or I should say the furthest along. You know, we're concurrently working on 13 different facilities in the area, but this one is the furthest along in the process of interconnection, which is largely the limiting component of the process. But between myself and my two partners, we do have more than 30 years of building, owning, and operating power plants, mostly nuclear, renewable, and some thermal generation. So I think that concludes my presentation. I appreciate you taking the time to hear me, and look forward to working with you in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The public hearing on zoning case P18-161 is now called to order. Let the record show that the time is now 6:29. Thank you. Is there anyone here that would like to speak regarding this request? You will be given 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record. Is there anybody who has signed up? Okay. Is there anybody who would like to speak? Thank you.
Hello, my name is Samuel Shannon. I live at 823 Lizzie Lane, Tomball. I've been a resident in Tomball for 62 years. And I worked for CenterPoint for 47 years. So what he's saying is, I understand a lot of it, but a lot of it I don't. One thing I'd have a problem with by Deflex being a first, now we deal with Enchantic, and Enchantic have built a lot of generation plants around, but Deflex, we hadn't heard on it. And I'm retired now, but I went back and to check to see could I find anything on Deflex. We couldn't find anything on Deflex where they made applications or anything like that. So that's my concern. I know that the smaller generation plants, what they do is they interface with CenterPoint, with their substation, stuff like that. All the generation stuff that they do, like they say, if we have like a ground fault or something like that, they do kick in. And they do help out in that way there, but it ain't like they could just flip a switch and turn it on when they want to. They still have to go through the protocols with the substation. So some of it I do understand what he's saying, and some of it I don't. But when it comes down to just, you know, they're going to power Tomball up, they're not going to be able to do that. That's all I'd say.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to speak? If so, please come up now. All right. Since there are no additional comments, the public hearing is now closed and the time is now 6:31. May I have a motion to approve zoning case P18-161?
Motion to approve.
Thank you, Commissioner Rockamore. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Benson. Okay. Is there any discussion or questions?
I have a question for the presenter.
Would you please come up, Mr. Hurdle?
Yes, sir.
I assume this plant's going to be automated. You won't have anybody on site. What happens when something goes wrong, something breaks? What happens?
That's a good question. So I'd classify that as there's two levels. So one would be in the event of a fault. First of all, you're correct. It is unmanned. Even though it's unmanned, there is built-in fire suppression. So I would say the worst case is fire, but we have, as part of the structural design, a fire protection system built into the facility. With regards to operation and maintenance, that is will be handled by Wartzilla themselves. Their national headquarters is off Gessner Road. So they will have a team of people 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that are responsible for monitoring and operation of the all the facilities we build in the area.
Okay. Thank you.
I've got a question.
Yes.
You were talking about the noise, and it'd only be running 1,000 hours. What kind of noise is it going to be making those 1,000 hours?
Right. The noise.
You've got houses around there.
Right. The noisiest aspects of the facility are the cooling radiators and the exhaust stack. So for these, we have reviewed the city requirements, and we believe that even the standard equipment should be able to meet the DBA requirements of the nearest receptor, But we do have options if there is an issue as we go through the formal noise study. There are two layers of radiators that are low noise and extremely low noise radiators that we're committed to purchasing and installing if it's required to meet the regulations of the city.
This is a question for the city. We've got noise ordinances with decibel levels already defined, right? And what he's saying is that they conform to that? Is that what you're saying?
I didn't hear the decibel levels that you just
said. I didn't hear it either. That's what I'm wondering.
But what the city's is 65 decibels for residential property and 58 for non-residential property. So I'm not sure how that fits in.
Right. Those were the requirements we looked at when we designed the facility, and we will meet those requirements.
Okay.
So that's
all right. Thank you.
Could I ask you to address Mr. Shannon's concerns regarding your history and all in the business?
Absolutely. Yeah, and thank you, Mr. Shannon, for your questions. We are a slightly different business than Enchanted Rock, mainly in the sense that we are more than 10 megawatts, which Enchanted Rock's facilities are primarily less than 10 megawatts, which when you are less than 10 megawatts, you cannot qualify as a full market participant, so you cannot participate in all the different products and services that a full-size power plant could in ERCOT, a very large gas plant, a very large CCGT. Mm-hmm. It is on public record. You can go to the ERCOT interconnection queue. You can download the report. I mentioned our reference number is 19INR0187. You can see the status of our connection request, our air permit, our water permit. All of that is in public record. With regards to not seeing much about us as a company, he's exactly right. We did fund this company in June of 2017 and have spent the past 16, 17 months doing project development, doing fundraising, coming up with a business plan and operations plan. But we have not put any projects in the ground. So we have not had a great deal of press releases or public information being put out. So further, our business model is extremely dependent on acquiring pieces of land that are very close to substations like this property. So we are deliberately not very forward-facing about where we are building these, what we are doing, because there's a very small pool of land around these substations that we can choose from. And we feel if our competitors, the more our competitors know about what we're doing, the more likely it is that someone would go in and secure land options around these substations as well. Mm-hmm. So I guess the best answer is we are in the queue. It is public record, but there is not a ton of public information about our company.
One other question. Flooding, high water, how do you address that?
So we're working with a civil engineering company called Ward Getz & Associates, WGA. This specific facility is not within the 500-year floodplain, and they are working on the site plan now to evaluate if we would have to build the cement foundation above grade to adhere to any potential flooding requirements, but we don't anticipate that to be the case based on our site suitability studies.
Well, the 500-year floodplain doesn't count around here.
Sure.
I'm telling you that now. 100-year floodplain doesn't count around here. Places flood that you never expect them to flood.
I did drive by this facility, not after Harvey, but during one of the significant rains of the past year. I don't recall which one in full, but it is there was no water on the property that I saw. Obviously, that's a critical design decision for us, as it has not just significant risk to the equipment, but significant cost as well if we do have to build up significant amounts of cement foundation. But from the research we've done, we don't anticipate that to be a significant risk, particularly with the drainage infrastructure that's in place immediately adjacent to the facility.
Can it cause an issue to the station that you're tied to if it does flood? Can it cause an issue to the power station if yours is flooding?
Sure.
No.
There are protective breakers between our substation and that substation that in the event that there something were to happen, our substation is electrically protected from that substation, and vice versa. It's more likely that something would happen on the grid that could potentially cause a problem on our facility. So it's bi-directional protection to both the facility and the substation itself. But that's a part of what we're reviewing as part of the full interconnection study with CenterPoint. They spend a great deal of time outlining the protective system requirements, the relay settings, and then they give us a list of requirements of what we have to install in our facility to make sure that the CenterPoint system is protected.
So what I understand from what you're saying, this will be the first facility that your company will have coming online?
That most likely, that's correct, yes.
At this point in time?
That's right. We believe so,
based on what you've got. What's the environmental impact going to be? Are you doing environmental? Do you do an environmental study for the area since there are homes within the area?
We would do all of the environmental studies that were required, unless there was additional as part of the city requirements. But our plan is to work with LTE, or LT Environmental, who's doing our air permit, to also perform all of the relevant environmental studies that are required for the facility also.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Do you know approximately how much gas you guys would use on an annual basis?
I know the number in dollars, which is about $80,000 of gas per year. Assuming that the grid stays as relatively as it is today, if it was more renewables come online, which we expect, we would expect that gas amount to just increase. That's for about only 1,000 hours of running a year.
And have you looked at the line sizing and availability and that sort of, you know, the capacity reservation, if you will?
We have. We've worked with Wesley to both talk about the supply as well as the quality and the gas chromatography of the gas supply. We've shared that with the equipment manufacturer, and they verified that the gas composition and the methane number are adequate to run the facility.
So there's not an adverse impact on our gas system? Where there's not, it's not an unduly draw? It's a okay.
No.
Okay.
Anybody else have any other questions? Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Okay. Is there any other discussion at all? Okay, please enter your vote now.
Motion carries, 3 votes aye, 2 votes nay.
All right, 5.9, consideration to approve zoning case P18-166, request by Great Oaks School to amend Chapter 50 zoning of the Tomball Court of Ordinances by rezoning approximately 10 acres of land, legally described as Lot 1, Block 1, Welling Owens Quadruplexes, within the city of Tomball, Harris County, Texas, generally located on the east side of Lovett Street, south of Carroll Street, from the Planned Development 2 District to the Office District. Staff, could we have a presentation, please?
City staff met with the applicant and multiple representatives in March of this year to discuss the development of a school other than public or denominational. After multiple discussions, the applicant has decided to request a rezoning to the Office District with a conditional use permit application to follow for that proposed use. This is an image of the property. It is 10 acres and has access off of Lovett Street as well as Snook Lane, and it is undeveloped, as seen in this picture. The property is zoned Planned Development 2 District, and this zoning district was approved in 2008 when zoning was originally adopted for the construction of townhouses. The property was then platted in 2014. However, no development plans were ever submitted to the city for approval. Properties on Snook Lane in this area are zoned commercial, and there are multiple commercial establishments, including a storage facility and some office warehouse facilities. Properties on Lovett Street are zoned single family 9 and single family 6 district, and there are multiple single family dwellings on Lovett. The comprehensive plan future land use map designates this property as high density residential. Properties in the area are also designated high density as well as medium density residential and mixed use on Snook Lane. The high density residential category is to include various housing products such as patio homes, townhomes, duplexes, and apartments. However, the category also mentions that uses in this category may also include supporting land uses such as neighborhood, shops and services, parks and recreational amenities, religious institutions, and even schools. So at first glance, it might not appear that this request meets the high-density residential component, but the office district will allow those supporting land uses that are mentioned in the comprehensive plan. The office district is the least intense non-residential district, and it is intended to provide a transition district between residential uses and more intense uses. We believe the office district in this area will create that buffer that it's intended to between the non-residential uses on Snook Lane and the high residential uses on Lovett Street. Property owners were mailed a notification, and the notice of public hearing was published in the paper, and tonight we did receive one public comment form in support of the requested rezoning. City staff also recommends approval. Again, the office district is the least intense non-residential zoning district and would create a buffer between Snook Lane uses and Lovett Street uses. The request is consistent with the goals of the comprehensive plan. There's not a large amount of property in the city that's zoned office district, and the uses allowed in the office district would be appropriate to the general area and the city as a whole. The applicant is here, and they have also prepared a presentation for the commission.
All right. Thank you.
Hi, my name is J.R. Batek. I'm from 22911 River Birch Drive here in Tomball, Texas. And I am also a proud parent of two kids at Great Oaks School. Their name are Jack and Cecilia. So today we're going to talk a little bit about our school and our agenda. We're going to talk a little bit about our school. We'll talk a little bit about what our vision is for our school. Then we'll also talk about how that Lovett Street property fits into that overall vision. And then finally, we'll address some potential concerns that we identified. Could be for the neighborhood, could be for the city, and we'll talk about those as well. Then we'll sum it up, and we're prepared for any questions from anyone. First, a little bit about Great Oaks School. We started about 10 years ago with three students. We're already neighbors, we're in the neighborhood. We'll show you in a couple of slides that we're right around the corner, less than a quarter mile from the Lovett property already. We're leasing from the Church of the Good Shepherd on Carell Street. We're a private, nonprofit school with 100 kids from preschool to middle school. Right now, we're pre-K through 7th. Next year, we're going to go through 8th. Then we're going to pause for a minute, take a deep breath, and think about the next step towards high school. We're getting there. My son who's in second grade right now. We teach academics with creativity and beauty to make learning fun forever. What do we mean by that? So, we teach art. We teach gardening. Gardening starts in pre-K. Our preschoolers, they cut vegetables. They knead bread. They sing songs. They play. They draw. They paint. When you get into the older grades, they sculpt, they do different things, they make their own clothes. It's a fun academic environment where lessons aren't memorized, they're internalized. They learn to knit, not just because it's good to learn how to knit, but there's a lot of math, spatial reasoning, and also when you get into clothing making, there's trigonometry involved in cutting the slopers for the sleeves. I'm not that person, but we know more. We love our current location. We absolutely love the Church of the Good Shepherd, but we're outgrowing our space. So we need something new. But what do we want to be in the future? We want to be a full school, and we mean pre-K through high school, serving up to 350 students. We want to be a magnet for families and businesses and visitors to Tomball. So what do we mean by that? We have nine families who have moved to Tomball just to be a part of our school. We have 60 more who want to. Businesses. The second most important thing for businesses when they're relocating to a location is the educational institutions that are there. Tomball ISD is great. I have nothing against Tomball ISD. It's not right for my child. Our school is what's called a Waldorf school, and it's internationally recognized. There's over 1,000 of them worldwide, and it's been in place for about 100 years. Started in Germany, well-known. So one of the things that we give Tomball is a portfolio of options for education when businesses want to bring their children and their families to this area. And visitors, I have a very secret goal that I guess I'm making public now, that I want to be in the top 10 things of TripAdvisor to see when people come to Tomball. We want to keep the beauty of the city. The city is already gorgeous. We want to maintain small buildings. We already have 3 playgrounds. We already have 3 gardens. We want to expand those and make that open space available to people. This is going to be a great, beautiful place for us to keep. We're going to do this slowly. We do a lot of our education is methodical and intentional. So we're going to acquire the land. We're going to start building our buildings. We think it's going to take about 5 years to get where we're trying to get to. So what's specific about this property that we love? We have a contract on it already. We signed it. One of the conditions is that we get the approval to get it rezoned so we can use it as a school. And we need to rezone from the plan development district to the office district with conditioning. I'm sorry, these are not my words. It's 10 acres fully wooded, so it'll meet our size for today and for the future. And it's beautiful and it's close. So the next slide outlines where it is in location. We're at the spot where you see Great Oak School. That's where the Church of the Good Shepherd is. It's literally around the corner, a quarter of a mile away. So there's been studies that show you lose about a third of your students if you move more than 5 miles from your intended location. So this allows us to keep our families in our community. We're really excited about having such a great opportunity so close. So let me address some of the potential concerns that might be seen by neighbors or the community at large. The aesthetics. Nature and beauty are part of everything that we do. Our teachers have chalkboard drawings. We paint our rooms certain colors so that they're beautiful and engaging. We want, it's part of our curriculum. Drawing, art is done every single day. This part is what our students learn. So we want to keep our land and our facilities beautiful so that our students learn better. A natural, beautiful campus keeps students engaged and focused and enriches the educational process. Noise. I can imagine you're hearing 350 kids, that's a lot of noise. But we are incorporating a landscape buffer to cut down on some of that noise. And right now our loudest noise is children playing. And 350 is a ways away. Like I said, we're only 100, and we've been around for 10 years. We do have a couple events at night, and those are typically times of quiet reverence and singing, unamplified music. So we're pretty quiet. Except for some of those kindergartners, they can get a little loud. The traffic. I'm concerned about traffic. That's one of the reasons I moved to Town Hall. So our main entrance is going to be on Snook Lane. Lovett is going to remain residential. Might be for some of the walkers and people with a couple that live in the Old Town District of Town Hall. But Snook gives us access from 2920 and is a great place for us to come in. So that's where the main, and our traffic will be very non-commute hours. Our classes are 8:15 to 3 o'clock. And we're going to stagger some of the start times. And we have staggered some of the start times for early childhood, which is pre-K, and kindergarten. The grades start a little bit earlier. And if necessary, as we grow the school, we can stagger the start times a little bit better to thin out some of that traffic. Drainage. My house flooded in Hurricane Harvey. Drainage is very, very important to me. So we're working with our engineers in the city of Tomball to develop a large retention pond. And we intend to maintain a significant amount of permeable land, gardens, playgrounds, green space. We're not going to just build a big parking lot and put up a bunch of buildings. Now, an initial design came through with 274 parking spaces. Our further analysis indicated we need about half that amount. So we're going to make this area be able to drain really, really well. What are some potential additional concerns that might be out there? Economic impact. Like I said, 9 families have already moved to Town Hall to be close to our school. There will be 60 more who want to, and then as we add families to it, as we grow, more people are going to want to come. We already supply 30 jobs in the area. We have a budget of $1 million. We have a lot of people who work and play here in Town Hall because of our school. In reviewing for this presentation, this process, I went through the Vision 2030 program for Town Hall. That was a lot of work. You guys have a lot of goals and objectives to try and achieve, let me tell you. We think we align with many of those, but I think I'm going to highlight 3 of them that I think we're really specifically aligned with. First is to improve the quality of life and make it financially sustainable. We're trying to build a beautiful school that can add to the city. Add that beauty, add a school that provides a new educational portfolio. Add to the educational portfolio, we're seeing, but we're here for good. We're committed, my kid's committed to at least 8th grade. If we can make it longer than that, we're going to be here for many, many years, and we're going to build the school for years beyond that. The second goal is maintaining rural heritage and lifestyle. Our school was started in 1919. Our kids learned to knit, they learned to sew. We have 3 gardens. We're going to start selling at the Town Hall Farmers Market in January. Those types of activities are core to what we do. Farming starts in 7th grade. So we talk about those types of things and engage the students so that they know how to do things with their hands. Gives them the confidence moving forward and also teaches them other skills, math and other things like I mentioned before. And then the third one that I saw was creating great neighborhoods. They highlighted schools specifically and also creating small jobs where people could walk to work. Well, that's exactly what we do. We're creating 30 jobs. We've got 30 jobs now. We're planning to go to 50 at least as we go through our development. So we think we line very well with Tomball's goals and objectives. So we love our school. We're very passionate about it. We've got people showing up here tonight to support us. We love Tomball. This is a great area for us. German heritage. Our school was founded in Germany in 1919. So they matched up very well. We're happy to be here. The love of property is great for us. We will help build. We will be good for the community by helping to build a great organization in that area. We will help Tomball to become more beautiful and vibrant and prosperous than it already is. Great city, great town. I love living here. We want to stay. We're here for good. So to that end, I please request that you support our request to rezone the Lovett property to the office district with conditional use permit. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. The public hearing on zoning case P18-166 is now called to order. Let the record show the time is now 6:54. Is there anyone here who would like to speak regarding this request? You will have 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address first. Do we have anybody? I know. Is there anybody who would like to speak regarding your request? Please come to the podium. State your name and address, please.
Can you come up there or can y'all hear me?
No, ma'am, I need you to come to the podium, please.
Sorry about that, guys.
I'm Linda Evans. I'm on Bolton Court, which is right across from the property. I'm excited to know that there is going to be a school built there. On the rezoning, I do have a question for y'all. I'm 100% for the school. My only comment is, with y'all rezoning it and the school, you know, not being around, and, you know, appropriate kind of people, is this going to be able to have an effect on the two drug houses? It's going to be down there on the end of the property to where, I know it might not be y'all's, but, we have to worry about them. So hopefully with the rezoning, we'll be able to get the drug addicts and the people down there out of the way. I'm excited about them going out on Snook Lane because we do have a dead end on Lovett Street. And as far as I know, the property is going to be, you know, fantastic, but I just want to put my voice in for approval for it. We didn't know if we were supposed to send in these papers or not because there was no dates on it, but I have talked to several of my neighbors and we're excited for it too. And we do have youngsters coming up that might, you know, not want to go to public school with, you know, the parents and stuff like that with the situations going on right now. So hopefully this will be another alternative to some of the kids, and I hope y'all consider it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Seeing none, the public hearing is now closed, and let the record show that the time is now 6:56. So may I have a motion to approve zoning case P18-166?
I'll make the motion to approve.
Thank you, Commissioner Dunnigan. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Is there any discussion or questions?
I have a question of the applicant.
All right, would the applicant please come forward?
I can't really tell, but your drop-off and pickup of your students. Mm-hmm. I know most, I live between the high school and the junior high. And the parents seem to park on the roadway. Will there be any need for them to park on the roadway to come pick up their kids?
Our intention is to have adequate parking drop-off, staggering the start time so there wouldn't need to be, stopping on the roadway.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Does anybody else have any questions? All right. Seeing none, please enter your vote now. Push hard.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. All right. 5.9, consideration to approve zoning case P18-167, request by Great Oaks School for a conditional use permit to operate a school other than public or denominational on approximately 10 acres of land legally described as Lot 1, Block 1, Welling Owens quadruplexes within the city of Tomball, Harris County, Texas. The property is generally located on the east side of Lovett Street, south of Carroll Street, and it is zoned office district. Staff, could we have a presentation, please?
Okay, this is the conditional use permit for the rezoning case that we just heard. The applicant kind of went into detail, but Great Oaks School has operated in Tomball at the Church of the Good Shepherd. However, they're not affiliated with that church. So the definition of a school other than public or denominational is a school under the sponsorship of a private agency or corporation other than a public or religious agency which offers a curriculum that is generally equivalent to public elementary and or secondary schools. And since we already talked about the zoning and the future land use and all that, we're just going to jump into the analysis and the uses in the office district according to chapter 50-75 shall not include uses that create excess amounts of traffic, noise, trash, or late night business operations. Any traffic generated by the development shall not be encouraged to travel through residential areas. So I believe the applicant addressed that. And we can put a condition, which I'll get to, for entrances and exits. And a school also does not typically generate excess noise or late night operations. So we do believe that this proposed use is appropriate in the office district. This is a proposed concept plan that was presented, and city staff does recommend approval. The proposed use is appropriate for the location and surrounding uses. The proposed use meets the intent of the office zoning district, and the proposed use meets the goals of the comprehensive plan. Staff has come up with three recommendations, and we share these with the applicant, and they are willing to meet these conditions, and that is that the site be developed and operated in substantial compliance with the concept plan. The development shall limit driveway entrances and exits on Lovett Street to no more than two, and shall design the development so that the main entrance of the school is accessed from Snook Lane, and that a 15-foot landscape buffer be installed and maintained on the development adjacent to Lovett Street. The applicants here, they probably have the same presentation, so I don't know if you guys want to hear it again.
I'll do it better.
All right, would you like to come forward and make any other comments as you wish?
No additional comments, but just thank you for your time. And
thank you.
Look forward to it.
Okay, the public hearing for your zoning case P18-167 is now called to order. Let the record show the time is now 7:01. Is there anyone here who would like to speak regarding this request? You have 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record. Nobody's here. All right. So, okay. Let the record please show that the public hearing is now closed and the time is 7:01. May I have a motion to approve zoning case P18-167?
Motion to approve.
Okay, I heard Commissioner Benson. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, I heard Commissioner Donegan. All right, is there any discussion or questions?
Just one question for the city. Your recommendations, how do they go forward from here to make sure the CUP has it in there?
How do I turn this on?
It's on.
Yeah, what I would recommend that you do, and I was going to raise that when the motion was made, is that the motion reflect the recommendation of staff, which includes those three conditions, and then it'll be incorporated as part of the overall the conditional use permit.
Okay.
If the person who made the motion and second are agreeable to that, you don't need to make an additional motion.
I'll make that motion to include the three additional items that staff had included.
Your motion.
And
all right.
I second it.
And when plans are actually submitted for the city for approval, we will make sure that those, you know, that there's not five entrances and exits off of Lovett,
right,
and that they've met all those requirements.
Thanks.
Okay, and who made the second? It was Dane. Are you agreeable?
I second it.
Perfect. Thank you. I just have one question. Is this school facility, this acreage, is it going to be fenced? Would you come to the podium,
sure,
please?
Our initial concept design did not have a fence on it. We would consider fencing it, though. That hasn't. Right now, we're still talking through the whole process and, mm-hmm. and finalizing design. Would you recommend a fence, or I'm trying to...
Well, I would base it on staff's recommendation, but to my way of thinking, as big as the property as you have, I would think a fence might be nice to have to prevent people just wandering through there when y'all are not there.
Right.
And any damage to your school or, you know, anybody in the, into the school.
Right.
Just as a precaution.
Okay.
Safety reasons.
Yeah, safety is the biggest thing I look at.
Safety of our children is the number one priority.
Right. Absolutely. Does anybody have anything else that they'd like to ask? Thank you. Appreciate it. Okie dokie. Anyway, so any more discussion? No, please enter your vote now.
Motion carries unanimously.
Okay. I didn't need to restate the motion. Yes. Okay. Too late. All right. Is there a motion to approve adjournment?
Motion to approve adjournment.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Benson. Please enter your vote now. Bill.
Motion carries unanimously.
Okay, the meeting is now adjourned and the time is 7:04.
Did you get your points?